I was looking through my files over the last 30 years of... The very first sermon I ever preached was the day I graduated from high school. And I can remember I graduated that afternoon in May of 1980. And that night I spoke. I'd been a Christian for just a few months. It was my first sermon. And I spoke absolutely everything that I knew. And I was done in like 8 minutes. So I just said it again. In case anybody missed it the first time. And then the older you get, you like to speak and you talk more. But you still want to keep it concise. I was looking through all my notes and files for the years. I have never preached a sermon on Proverbs chapter 31. Ever. In all of these years. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Proverbs 31. It's a very well-known passage of Scripture. Most people will consider it what is called the virtuous woman. It's so much more than that, and it's so much more broader than that. But it's a great passage of Scripture. What many people don't know is chapter 31, the first few verses are a commentary about a man remembering what his mother told him. And then the last verses 10 through 31 are, in all likelihood, a poem written in like an acrostic format with the Hebrew alphabet, each alphabet in the Hebrew, starting each verse. So we can't see it in the English. But it's probably from the same people, probably from the same person. I really believe that this is a memory of a man, King Lemuel, which could be David or Solomon or someone else. But it was advice given to him from his mother. Now, as all you mothers know, and all you fathers also for that matter, but in this context, all you mothers, how many times have you gotten a hold of your son and you really wanted him to hear what you had to say? Knowing good and well that the chances are he wouldn't listen to much what you had to say. Or how many times have you fathers gotten a hold of your son and wanted to tell him? Or for that matter, you want to tell your daughters? Or you want to tell your grandkids? Or your niece or your nephew, and you want to impart to them some wisdom that you may have accrued through the lifetime, whether you consider it a great amount or a little amount, you want to grab them by the shoulders and you want to look them dead in the eyes and you want to tell them the truth of it all. You want to tell them what they need to know that you've learned the hard way. And if there's any possible way to get through, you want to shake them hard enough, smack them around, you want to do something to where they're going to listen to you, because this is it. It reminds me of, I love this movie, and I don't particularly the ideology of the actors, but I love the movie The Shawshank Redemption. Everybody's probably seen that. I've watched it, I don't know, 100 times, I don't know. Every time it comes on, I end up watching it. I love that show. And I love the show where Morgan Freeman goes in and sits down, and they give him for his last parole hearing, and they said, well, are you rehabilitated? And he answers the question, as the writers wrote, in a brilliant way, rehabilitated. And he says, if you mean by rehabilitated, am I sorry for the things I did as a young man? Would this old man tell that young man, if he could say anything to him, he would tell him that life is not so fast. It is different. Do the right things. And he goes into a monologue about what he would tell himself as a younger man. I like that kind of commentary because it's reflective back on years of wisdom that can be derived through much pain. All of you that have lived in this room, which would be all of you pretty much, can talk about the pain that you've gone through that you would love to tell someone else about so that they don't do the same thing. Even more so your children, because many of you have children that are real knuckleheads. I mean, some of us have a couple that are like that, or many. Some of you are like that. I mean, we are individuals who are sinners. In this context, this mother is telling her son, who is the king? Now, it's interesting because King Lemuel, verse 1 of chapter 31, we don't know anything about him. There are some commentators who believe that this is Solomon writing, or excuse me, David writing. And David is writing this, but he's using a pen name here just because he did sometimes. And that was his name that his wife Bathsheba called him. It was kind of like, it means the word Lemuel, I think most of you have commentaries, it means something like, anybody know what that means right off the top of your head? It means belonging to God. I mean, some of your commentaries will make mention of that. but it means the one who belongs to God. But he's reflecting on this. It's funny, it's the last chapter of this book, and he's going to want to end it up on a note in which God is honored to the very best of his ability. And as he gives that commentary, he starts off with the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that is his mother taught him. So these are words coming from his mother. And so we need to listen to him. Now, what is a mother going to say to her son that's a king? What is her mother going to say to a young man who will be king? What does a mother say to her son who's 17, who's getting ready to make tons of mistakes, or 15 or 20 for that matter? What do you say as a mother to your children who you know the way they're going to go, and you're trying desperately not to make them go that way, but you know by nature, as yours was too, that they're probably going to go that way, and yet you want them to hear some sense? Because if you read this chapter from that context, it makes so much more sense to you. This is a mother giving her words to a son who is king or will be king. And the first 9 verses are about him directly. Verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy of his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows. That's such a King James way of saying, listen, my son, who I gave birth to, who I've lived my whole life to take care of. Have any of you ever had that stuff laid on you by your mother before? Now, son, I gave birth to you. I nursed you for a year. I suffered and sacrificed, so if you got a minute, would you listen? By then, you're all in, you know. You're not going anywhere. It's kind of like them calling you by your middle name. You know something special. Well, this mother's saying that to her son. Verse 3, the first thing she says is, cast not thy strength unto a woman, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. Cast not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor the princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert judgment any of the afflicted. Now, how many mothers do you think in the course of humanity have set their son down, and the first thing they told them as they were getting ready to embark in their adult journey is, stay away from women and alcohol? How many think said that? This is no different. Once again, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish, and wine to those that have heavy hearts. In other words, there's a purpose for it to some degree. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth, for thy dumb is the cause in such our appointed destruction. In other words, defend the weak. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. It's kind of interesting. Son, stay away from women if you can. Don't drink. You're going to be king. You don't do anything that's going to pervert judgment or take away your strength and focus. You need to stay focused. You need to execute judgment adequately. You need to defend the poor and those who can't defend themselves. You need to stand up for those that are weak. You need to be strong. You need to be centered. You need to be at the top of your game so that you can be the best that you could be. Now, does this sound like good counsel from a mother? This sounds like good counsel, period, in general. I mean, and this is what this king's mother said to him. She then switches gears in verse 10 because he's at that age. And he says, I know you're going to want to get married. You're going to want a woman. This is the kind you want. And this is all she's saying to him. Verse 10. Now, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband shall doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Does somebody have an NIV on them? Why don't you read those first 3 verses, Linda? 10, 11, and 12.
A wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value.
Yeah.
She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life.
Yeah. Yep. Now, many times we don't marry like that. It would be nice if we did. But for those who've been fortunate enough to marry a godly woman, it's worth more than gold. I mean, in all honesty, there are a lot of really smoking hot looking women out there. Can you say that in Baptist church? Is that too late now? Inner voice, my bad. And honestly, that's the, you know, God made women beautiful, duh. You know, it didn't make men beautiful, thing. You know, that's the case. But we're going to get down to the end of this chapter, and beauty changes over the years. A beautiful woman is something you notice. But man, a woman of integrity with a heart that's beautiful inside, that's got character and love and strength. Oh my goodness. Man, that's worth more than a football field of beautiful women. Integrity and depth. And that's what this mother is telling her son. Who can find a virtuous woman? Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She's not lazy. She is like the merchant ships. She brings forth her food from afar. She rises up while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Her own earnings, she's intelligent. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sitteth among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and selleth it, and delivers belts unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor. I mean, I just always stop on verse 25 and I read this. Every book you will read, whether it be Christian or secular, but even Christian books, it talks about a woman's beauty. Talks about her grace, talks about her elegance, it talks about her delicacy. When the Bible talks about the character of a godly woman and talks about her strengths, strength and honor. Now those are the words we tend to use for men. Men are about strength and honor. But what if everything you read is pretty much wrong most of the time? Spoiler alert, much of it is. A godly woman's about strength and honor also. Strength and honor. In our world in which our society is saying that men and women are essentially the same, that they're just being social, you know, changed at birth, or they're being changed, you know, socially by their parents to like blue and pink, and therefore we're corrupting them to make them what we think they should be in our own mind. All that's nonsense. God made men and women. And after he made male and female, he said, they are created in my image. Not man, not woman, but both of them are. Not just so simply put as masculinity and femininity, although that can also be the full range. We make up the image of God, males and females. Our dogs don't. Our cats don't. Our livestock don't. All the scientists say that we're the second most intelligent creature next to the dolphin. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. They swim all day trying not to get eaten by sharks. Kind of what we do, I guess. But they're, you know, we're the top of the food chain because we're the ones that are creating the image of our God. When God made dolphins, he thought about it. When he made sharks, he thought about it. When he made grass, he thought about it. When he made the worlds, he thought about it. When he made the sun and the moon to separate night and day, he thought about it. When he made the firmament, he thought about it. But when he made Adam, he touched the dirt and he blew life into it. And he formed him in his own image. When he made Eve, he took the rib and the meat away from Adam's chest by his heart and he ripped that out. And he formed a woman from that and he touched it. Those two are God touched. God breathed. Everything else is created by a kind of creation in which God imagined it and did. But man and woman, God made on his own, in his own image. We have unique strengths and unique talents that are totally different at times. But two things that are similar that God recognizes as equal is strength and honor. You want to love your wife, you want to love your daughter, you want to love your granddaughter, you want to love your wife and kids, anybody but the females in your life, treat them honorably. Teach them how to be strong. Encourage them to be able to make it. Encourage them to have honor, integrity. No different than a man when it comes to that. You want your boys to be strong? Teach them to have integrity and honor. These accolades coming from this man whose mother shared with him, this is the kind of person you look for. This woman works and she's tireless. She gets up early, she goes to bed late. Her husband is respected because of it. Have you ever known a man in your life who the men, this is something you'd have to answer this one. Have you ever been respected because people respected your wife? It's an amazing thing. Your wife's got integrity and honor, and she's worthy of respect. She's not trying to mess around with somebody in the office. She's not trying to defraud you. Likewise, you're not doing the same thing to her. And so you're looked upon like with honor because she's got honor. Same way the other way around. Her husband is known in the gates, verse 23. When he sits among the elders, she makes fine linen or cloth and she sells it. She delivers belts into the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. People of honor and strength with integrity and dignity, they don't have the same kinds of fear and anxiety as others would. Ultimately, the proof's in the pudding. Whether people like you or not, whether your kids abandon you or betray you, doesn't matter. Ultimately, that's going to be their choices. But if you know you've done the best you can, and you've done the best you can to where you don't have to apologize, there is such peace in that ultimately. Being able to lay your head down at night knowing that you've done the best you can, because none of us are perfect, there's such peace in that, such grace, such mercy, integrity. Now, we all mess up. We all don't do as good as we should do. We all know the passage in Romans where Paul says, the things that I do, I shouldn't do. The things that I don't do, I should do. Oh God, why do I fight this nature of myself? I want to do good, but I don't. And then I do bad and I don't want to. God, who shall deliver me from the snare of this bondage? And then he says, I thank my God there's no condemnation to them that be in Christ. We are all fallen creatures. As men and women, we're going to fail our mates in ways, ourselves, our children, our parents. Because we're humans, we are sinners. And there are going to be times that we care more about ourselves than others. There are going to be times that our opinions and our agenda is paramount. There's going to be times that our physical health and such as removes us from the game that we should be playing. There are going to be times where you just don't want to forgive because we're bitter. But God can forgive all of that. If we ask Him to, He will forgive. He'll change us. He'll help us to get over ourselves and to forgive and to be kind, to be loving, to be people of strength who can say no when it's going to be unpopular. Yes, when it's going to be unpopular. And be able to stand up there when everybody else is against you. Strength and honor are her clothing. It covers her nakedness. Strength and honor. And she rejoices in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. One of the best ways the Bible says in order to take away someone who's angry and contentious, and he likes to argue and fight and spew, and they've got venom coming out, is kindness. Now, it's kind of counterintuitive at times to be kind to someone who's frothing at the mouth, and yet it's very, very helpful at times also. The Bible tells us that a kind word turneth away wrath. Strength and honor, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Praised by her husband and her children. Verse 29, as it's closing, it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excels them all. This is the husband's commentary. And verse 30, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Giver of her fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Verse 30 is the key of all this whole chapter. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And that is the absolute truth of it all. I have done hundreds of funerals, hundreds. And I would venture to say most were women, and many were older. And although everyone talks about what a kind person she was, or the absence of that comment says more than the comment thereof, and almost everyone talks about her gentleness and her love for her family, the way she worked, the way she took care of her husband, the way she was loved by her family, what she did for others, what she did for the poor, what she did in her church, that is what's talked about. Every now and then someone will say how beautiful she was or is. But it's always about her integrity, her honor, her character. They don't stand back and say, boy, she sure is a knockout. No, they talk about the kind of human being she is and was. And I hope, and our society teaches this something completely backwards, I hope that we as Christians, who, if we listen to the things that Marvin talked about today in the special, the intent and the purpose of being a godly Christian is to reach others. And so many times we ruin and waste all the best years of our life and the energies of our strength by focusing on things that are so fleeting and so selfish. Men, the quest for strength and power and stuff. Women, the perception of maintenance of beauty. And these things are nice, and they're, if you to a degree. But the thing that really makes a difference is, do you love people? Are you kind to people? Do you have integrity and honor? This mother says to her son who would be king, son, don't be foolish. Stay away from women. Stay away from drink. Focus on what you're supposed to do. And when you're ready to find a woman, this is the kind you want to look for. A woman with strength and dignity. A woman that's intelligent, that's strong, who loves her family. Man, that's good advice, isn't it? That's good wisdom. I once heard that a pastor nowadays should never talk about Proverbs 31. I heard this a few years ago. So naturally I thought, well, I'm going to speak on it soon. Can you imagine portions of the Bible that we're not supposed to talk about because it might hurt someone's feelings? As if God made a mistake in putting it in the Bible. We never have to apologize. We're going to get the Song of Solomon sometime, and I might embarrass a lot of you. It's in the Bible. I'll make sure if we don't have any kids out there, though, probably. Being a godly woman is a high priority. Everyone in your group may make fun of you because you're not showing 4 inches of cleavage everywhere you go. You may not be invited to parties because you don't tell the same dirty jokes. You don't complain about your husband. You don't cuss about your kids. You don't gripe about your boyfriend. You don't gripe about the men. You, matter of fact, you hold them up and support them. You may not be very well liked at all. God bless you. Do what you do is right. Do what you know is right. Be people of integrity and honor. Same thing with men. How dare you talk bad about your wife or your kids? Shut up. Support them. Lift them up. We're the strong. We're supposed to stand up for each other. We're Christians. We're family members. Be people of integrity. If you've got a wife or a mother or a sister or children who are like this, you brag on them and tell them how much you honor them and respect them. Be this kind of person. Men can be this way too. People of integrity and honor. You don't have to be perfect, because we're certainly not. Everybody knows that. But do the best we can. And if we've failed thus far, just say, God, I'm sorry. Help me to do better. And begin again. Because we're going to fail today and probably tomorrow and pretty sure Tuesday. Because that's the nature of our humanity. Say, God, forgive me. Help me to do better. Help me to be a light. Help me to be salt. Help me be someone who's got integrity so that I may not be popular, people may not like me, but when someone's got a real problem, they'll might look around and make sure nobody sees, and they're going to come to you. They won't tell anybody they did. It doesn't matter. We're here to be light and salt. Let's be strong and love each other. Support your husbands and wives and kids and family members, and be people of integrity and honor that. Honor the integrity, the strength. Honor the good stuff. It's so easy. It's so easy to cheat and be beautiful. It's so easy to cheat and be powerful. It's so easy to cheat and do all those things. It takes guts and character and strength to truly have the integrity to do the right stuff. That's what takes strength and endurance. And it honors our God, because nowhere in this passage does it talk about absolute beauty. But if God made you beautiful, congratulations. It doesn't talk about anything like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the push is strength and honor. Just like it is for men. Strength and honor. We can do that because that's about character. And those are our choices. So God bless all the women. It's 6 till 12. That's the fastest sermon in like 20 years. I want to get us all here at a good time. But if you have got a godly woman in your family, you make sure you tell her thank you. She may be a mother, she may not. She may be a sister, who knows, grandmother or daughter. You recognize them, because a truly godly woman has had to sacrifice a lot in the world's value to do the right thing for God's sake. It's no sacrifice at all ultimately, but it is sometimes immediately. We thank Him for it. God bless all of you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much today. Lord, it is our day that we celebrate mothers. One of the last things you said, Father, on this planet, as you were dying on a cross, almost ready to die, you looked at the Apostle John and you said, John, your mother. Mother, John. You took care of your mom. The world is in balance. The devil thinks he's winning a victory. God's getting ready to turn his face from you as you take sin upon yourself for that moment. You are dying a horrible, painful death, naked, elevated 6 inches above the world on a cross for everyone to see as they're laughing and mocking, and you took time to take care of your mother. What a tremendous example you've given us in so many ways, even on that very human way. Help us to honor and be faithful to our loved ones and appreciate what you've given us, Lord. Help us to honor those who honor you. God, we thank you for this opportunity and this privilege. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand and turn to hymn number 159. Hymn number 159. And I want to, I appreciate Betty and Ruth today helping out on the organ and the piano, and Susie singing, and Tommy back there helping out. We have a lot of things going on today, and appreciate you guys helping out today. Let's all stand. Hymn number 159. Let's sing the first verse of Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Happy Mother's Day. Spend it with your loved ones, and for those whose mothers have gone on and you have a rough time, well, you know, pray.
pray for you too. So God bless you all. Nice to have a visitor here today and all the kids downstairs, and looks like everybody survived thus far. So have a good afternoon. Remember, no Bible study tonight. Well, we're going to take the night off, and have a good afternoon, and God bless all of you. And Mr. Cobb, would you close us in prayer today?
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful message that you were able to let us all hear today. May you continue to just give us the strength to remember our mothers, whether good, bad, or indifferent. So many of us have wonderful mothers, and some might have had bad mothers, but may it build character in us as we got older. And just throughout the day, Lord, may we all just remember our mothers and all the good that we have to look into them for. Continue to bless, guide us, and strengthen us until we all return again. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.